Amen. Amen. All right. Pray for Brother Albert. These anniversary days or whatever, not always the easiest to go through. But I sure am glad that we know where she is. I miss her, I promise you that. And I know Brother Albert does. Acts chapter 2. I want to look back at the thought I've been dealing with of the couple of services anyway. And I thought today, I hope I don't become the preacher known as the preacher who has the bottle hidden in the pulpit. But we're talking about the daily requirements for a healthy church. There are vitamins, there are nutrients. I've read through a couple of times the things that we need physically. And they are required if we want to, good gracious, if we want to live. There's some things you're going to have to put in your body. And if you want to live well, there's some other things you got to put in your body. There's some things we got to do. And it talks about daily requirements, daily necessities. Well, if that's true of us and our physical man, it's surely true of our spiritual man. And if it's true of our spiritual man, that means it's true of our church. In this verse, in this chapter, we read about the early church. Let's begin reading just again, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily, in one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. I want this kind of church to be our church. I want our church to be this kind of church. I believe the Lord does. He said before he left this world, I will build my church. It depends on him. But he does work through people. And the things that I find in these verses that he blessed abundantly was the fact, as I mentioned last time, or a couple of times to be honest, the need for purity. It starts there. That's where it begins, a clean life, a spiritual life, a dedicated life. If we don't do that, this church will never be blessed. Our lives will never be blessed. I desire a pure life. I desire a pure church. Could have said again, this church will never be more than we are. We are what we are in Christ, but how we live makes a difference. And we bring into the church what we are, and it will reveal itself in this church. I have mentioned first one daily requirement for a healthy church is purity. Could I mention this? Number two. Another requirement, another daily requirement for us to be a healthy church is not only purity, but preaching. I see in these verses the fact that God used preaching. It says in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What the apostles preached. God has chosen to use preaching in the local church to tell his people what he says. It is God speaking to us if the preacher's right and on the right message and letting the Lord use him. 1 Corinthians 1:21, the Bible says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. That word means absurd, weird. In other words, somebody talking about a cross, Somebody talking about a man who died on the cross 2,000 years ago. To the world, that's foolish. That's absurd. But that's what God says I use, because it is the cross. And it is through the preaching of the cross that men are saved, people are saved. In these verses, we find that they needed to listen. It talks about the apostles' doctrine. That talks about instruction. It is as though God was speaking through them. In other words, they and us, there's something we need to know. We don't know everything, and without Him, we know nothing. So He uses preaching to inform us. They needed to listen, but they also needed to learn. If you notice in verse 43, it says, fear came upon every soul. They heard the preaching. God opened their eyes, and they saw that what they had heard was true about them. And fear came, conviction came. And it was through and by the preaching that they listened and their lives were changed. They not only needed to learn and they needed to listen, but they needed to live. If you look through these verses, you'll find that what they heard, they did. They put it to practice. They lived out the word as it was delivered to them. Why? Because that's what God said to do. He spoke to them and they did what He said. In Exodus 19:8, the people of Israel, for one time at least, they said this, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. That's what we find here in the book of Acts. That's what we need to find in our lives. We need to listen, we need to learn, and we need to live. But what about this thing of preaching? Why would God design that preaching be the means whereby He helps the church? Could I mention first the privilege involved with hearing God? God said, I speak through the preaching. I let you know what I say through the preaching. Could I say that's a privilege? Anytime we hear from God, it's a privilege. The privilege connected or involved with hearing God. You see, He speaks through the Scripture, this Bible. Boy, I love it. Brother Mike said it this morning. It sure did touch my heart. He said, I love to see something. I love it when God shows me something. And boy, when you get in this book yourself, or if you come to church and hear a teacher or a preacher and God opens your eyes to something and God speaks to your heart about something, that is a privilege. That is a blessing. We should never take that for granted. What a blessing it is that the God of heaven would speak through people to people. The privilege involved with preaching, and He speaks through the Scripture. The Bible says, of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. Oh, it's through the word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means He breathed out these words in this book. And when a preacher or teacher opens it up, it is as though God is speaking again. The privilege involved with speaking means that He speaks through the Scripture, but He also speaks through the Spirit. Hey, I can stand up here all night and say all kinds of words, but unless the Holy Spirit opens up our heart, you'll not get a thing. Oh, but when God opens your heart and the Spirit puts it in there, when He identifies with His preacher and identifies with the Word, and the Holy Spirit says, yes, that's right, and yes, that's for you. Boy, what a privilege that is. Thank you, God, for speaking to us like that. Oh, what a privilege it is. He speaks through the Scripture, and He speaks through the Spirit. And if He doesn't, we won't hear. He not only speaks through the Scripture and through the Spirit, but listen to me, and here's part of my message. He speaks through the sermons. Here we find preachers preaching and people hearing. And they heard what God said when the preacher spoke. Hey, a preacher under the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit is the mouthpiece of God. Does that mean we'll never make a mistake? Well, just listen a few minutes and you'll get your question answered about that. Oh, it doesn't mean we're not without flaw or failure. It doesn't mean we can't say the wrong thing or mispronounce words, but it does mean this. God speaks through the preacher when he's yielded to the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through the sermons. It talks there about the apostles' doctrine. It was as though God was speaking through them. I say it again. He says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, Bible preaching converts. You know why you're saved tonight? Somewhere, somehow, somebody told you what that Bible says about Jesus. It may have been a preacher in a pulpit. It may have been somebody on the side of the road. It may have been somebody at your house. But somebody God used to speak through, and that word opened up your eyes. Preaching converts. The Bible says that by His word He saved us. Oh, listen, the Bible converts. It says there that the Lord added to the church daily. Why? Because they were preaching the Word of God and people accepted it as the Word of God. I'm talking about the privilege involved with hearing from God. He speaks through sermons. Bible preaching converts. Bible preaching corrects. Paul said it like this to the preacher Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. He said to this preacher, you preach what God says preach when it's easy and when it's not. When you feel good and when you don't. When you want to or when you don't. He said, be instant, be ready, be quick. Report for duty and preach the word as it is, no matter what. And he says, go on further, reprove. It literally means to correct. Well, I'll tell you what, I sure do appreciate preaching that corrects me. I sure do appreciate words from God's man that tells me, hey, you're doing wrong. Now, I'm not too thrilled with it to begin with, but I need it. And I want God to correct me. I want God to open my eyes and show me if I'm doing something wrong. If I'm riding down I-85 heading north in the southbound lane, I want that highway patrolman to stop me. I don't care if he's rude doing it. I don't care if he shakes his fist at me. I don't care how loud the siren is. I don't care if he runs me in the ditch, if that's what it takes. If I'm going the wrong way, I want somebody to tell me you're going the wrong way and you're heading toward danger. And God's preacher sometimes has to do that, has to correct us. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, listen, it ain't just the man. Sometimes it probably is. Sometimes we preachers get in the flesh. Sometimes we can get mad. Sometimes we can do wrong. But most of the preachers that I know, including this preacher, do it trying to do right. It doesn't excuse us. We're wrong when we do, but at least we're doing it for the right reason. I hope you just accept that, I reckon, and pray for me that I won't. I'm talking about Bible preaching. Hey, God speaks through sermons. Bible preaching converts. Bible preaching corrects. He said reprove. That means to correct, to show one's faults. He said rebuke, warn. But then he also said exhort. I like that part. Because listen, Bible preaching not only converts and corrects, but it comforts.
Well, I want to tell you what. A fella told me to listen to a message the other day. And he talked about how good it was, and I downloaded it, and I was listening to it riding up and down the road, and I thought, well, that is pretty good. But boy, by the time I got to the end of it, I thought, I am so glad he told me to listen to this. Oh, how it helped me. In the process of helping me, it hurt me some, but it helped me and showed me something that I needed to see. I want to tell you, God uses men to help people to get comfort. That word will work to comfort us. That word will help us when we're hurting. Help us when we're troubled. I tell you what, God uses preachers, if we'll listen, and they'll listen, if I'll listen, to comfort us. God's preaching, Bible preaching, converts and corrects and comforts, but it also conflicts. Sometimes I don't like it. My old flesh, your old flesh, doesn't like what we hear. But if it's our flesh that doesn't like it, it's a pretty good sign we need it. I'm talking about God speaks through preaching, through the preacher. He did then and he still does. Could I mention first the privilege involved with preaching. The privilege involved with hearing God. But could I mention, secondly, the people involved with the hearing God. He says, I use preaching, but he's talking about someone preaching to somebody. Someone speaking to someone. So it's not only the preacher, but it's the listener. There's some people involved. Here's some people who heard the word and they listened and they obeyed. We need to hear what he says to us. The Bible says it like this: let every man be swift to hear. I can't wait to hear what you've got to say to me today, Lord. That means we need to listen. Now, we expect the preacher to pray about what to preach and study what he's going to preach, and we ought to. And live right during the week that when he comes to the pulpit, he'll be ready to preach and prepared to preach, and we should. But have you ever thought about the fact that the preacher's only half of the equation? It isn't just the speaker, but it's the hearers. There's a listener. And you should pray. And you should look at the word every day of your life. And you should live right to where you'll be ready to hear when God comes and speaks to us. I'm talking about the people involved with hearing God. There's a preacher, there's no doubt, but there's also the hearers, the listeners. And it doesn't matter how good the message is or how deep the message is or how rich the message is. If we're not listening, this gets cut off. There's no benefit. There's no help. So we need to learn to listen. I said it before. If your rich uncle dies and you know you're in the will, and you go to the lawyer's office and they're reading that will, and you know somewhere your name's mentioned in there, you know he gave you something, you don't know what. But boy, I want to tell you what, that lawyer will read a whole lot of whereases, a whole lot of long words you don't know nothing about, and he'll say a whole lot of stuff you couldn't care anything about at all, but you listen to every word because somewhere in that reading, your name's mentioned. Somewhere in that will, you're mentioned. So you listen to every word because you don't want to miss what applies to you. That's how we need to come to church. Be listening. God may just give you tonight exactly what you need for tomorrow. Just what you need for that problem you're facing. Give you the answer to that question you've been wrestling with. Give you the peace you need, the help you need. I'm talking about the people involved with hearing God. I'm talking about tonight preaching. God uses preaching. Could I say it again? The people of Israel said, all that the Lord have spoken, we will do. The privilege involved with hearing God. the people involved with hearing God, the purpose involved with hearing God. Why in the world would God choose this? Why didn't he just use angels? Why didn't he just speak from heaven? Why didn't he just say, let's put up a screen and I'll put my message and I'll just give it to you directly? Why in the world would he use preachers? Well, it's because we're all the same. And he always uses men to preach to men and people to speak to people. And that's why he wants us to hear and listen to whatever he's saying. But then really, my heart this evening is this. The privilege and the people and the purpose. And I want to mention the preacher involved with hearing God. It says they listened to the apostles' doctrine. That doesn't mean they got together and wrote it up. But it does mean some men heard from God and said to them what God had said. That's my message. That's my job. To walk with God all week and listen to him and come in here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and tell you what God said. That's my job. It's more involved with preaching than just the pulpit and the preacher. There's the pew. But for the pew to get help, preacher's got to be right. I have dealt a lot with purity. And I have driven home hard some things that I've said. But it doesn't just apply to you, it applies to me. If anybody's supposed to live right in this church, it's your preacher. If anybody's supposed to be clean in this church, didn't I talk to you about being clean? If anybody in this church needs to be clean, it's your preacher. If anybody needs to say no to the flesh, it's the man preaching to you tonight. Because if I come in stained, I can't say what God wants me to say, and we can't get the help that we need. And I beg you to pray for me that I'll live clean and live right, and from here on out, walk with God like I ought to. Hey, the preacher's got to be clean. He's got to have a clean life. God doesn't use dirty vessels. God won't use a dirty vessel, and I won't drink out of a dirty glass. I look at that thing and make sure it's clean. If it's not clean, I'm going to clean it up, or I'm going to set it aside and get another one. And I don't want God setting me aside. I don't want to be on the sidelines of life. And the preacher needs to be clean. But what else have I told you? Not only do y'all need to be clean, but I've said y'all need to be consistent. Isn't that what these verses say? We need to be consistent. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. If there's anybody here who needs to be consistent, it's me. I don't need to let a little bump in the road slow me down. Surely the devil whispers in my ear. Surely I'm attacked and face battles every day. But I can't let those battles stop me. I can't let those battles influence me. I can't be overcome by what the devil's trying to do. I must be consistent. I must get up tomorrow morning if I'm still alive and able and walk with God tomorrow. I must go on when I don't want to go on and do when I don't feel like doing. I need to be consistent. I'm saying you need a preacher that's consistent, that walks with God no matter what, and won't listen to the devil's lies. Because he lies to me just like he does you. I'm talking about a church that needs preaching. But they need to hear preaching from a preacher that's fit and ready and prepared and empowered. I told you that you need to be committed. All of us in this verse, these verses, and if there's anybody in this building that needs to be committed, it's me. Now, I need to be committed to the loony house, but that ain't what I'm talking about. Committed to serving God, it says, be instant in season and out of season is what Timothy said, that word, instant, is used for a soldier. Soldier doesn't play games. Soldier doesn't get up out of that foxhole in the morning and say, I just believe I just lay here today. I don't feel like fighting today. I didn't sleep good last night. My friends didn't fight as much as they should have yesterday. I'm just a little laid back today. Hey, preacher needs to be committed. It's like a soldier. We're in a battle. We're in a war. We should not be surprised if we're attacked. And surely the preacher shouldn't. I believe a preacher needs to be clean and consistent and committed, but I believe a preacher needs to be content. I'll tell you one thing. I did not come to this church waiting for a bigger church. Now, I don't know if this makes you happy or sad or neither one. I told somebody just the other day, I'm as happy here as I've ever been. Content with how we are? Sure not. Satisfied with how we are? Sure not. But as far as me being here, I am as content as I have ever been. I believe I'm where the Lord wants me to be. I hope you say, oh, okay, and said, oh, no. I hope not. I hope it's all right with you at least. But a preacher needs to be content. He should not be looking for some bigger church, some further reaching ministry. I don't want you to think you're a stepping stone. I mean, man, good life. I've been here 32 years in total. But I want to be here 32 more years. I don't want to go somewhere else. I want God to do something here. I want Him to do it here. Preacher needs to be content with where God put him, satisfied with the ministry that God put him in. Preacher needs to be satisfied. If my heart's off somewhere else, I'm a hireling. I just reported to get my paycheck this week. If that's the only reason I'm here, just to get another paycheck, why don't you just boot me out or pray for me and help me get right? But I love this church and I love you folks. Preacher needs to be content. Preacher needs to be considerate. I know some of you are hurting tonight. I know some of you have fought the devil all week. And I know some of you, if you look ahead, it don't seem like it's going to get any better. That ought to break my heart. I shouldn't be able to just ignore that and not pray about it. I shouldn't be able to lay back my head down again tonight and not think about y'all. One thing Brother James Grant used to say, he said, oh boy, so many times in my hearing, he said, the folks at our church are at work now. And they're working hard and the devil's fighting them. And he said, the people at our church, they're under the attack right now. And that's what a pastor is. Pastor's more than just spitting out words preaching. Pastor's more than just stomping around being an ogre. A pastor and a preacher where God's put somewhere is somebody who's considerate, who cares, who's burdened when you're burdened and cares when you're caring and when you're not all that you ought to be, that he tries to be patient and he puts himself in your place. See, we're called a shepherd for a reason. A shepherd leads the flock. Now, I know sometimes in my preaching it sounds like I'm trying to drive you, but I'm really trying to lead you. Shouldn't tell you to pray if I don't pray. I ought to lead you in that. Shouldn't tell you to read this Bible if I don't. Shouldn't tell you to live right if I don't. A shepherd leads. Says, come on, here's how you do it. And he's an example. I want to be that example. A good shepherd not only leads the flock, but he feeds the flock. He knows that flock needs food and water. And he does what's necessary to provide it. And he gives them what they need. Not always what they want. But a shepherd also loves his sheep. He's not there, I said again, not just to get a paycheck. The preacher involved with the hearing God, he needs to be clean and consistent and committed and content and considerate. I'll say this one little more thing and go to my last point. It's a short one. A preacher needs to be careful. Because there's wolves out there, enemies of the flock, that the devil would love to put in here. Hey, there's predators inside and outside of the church. The devil can use people inside the church to stir things up. Sheep are so timid. So timid, it doesn't take anything at all to disrupt them. And the devil will do all he can to disrupt the sheep. Because if he disrupts the sheep, if he disrupts the church, they're not going to do what God wants them to do. So the shepherd needs to be careful and watch and warn, sometimes holler. But I need to be careful because sometimes you have good ideas. I don't need to be some dictator, some ogre who says, I'm going to do it my way. You don't like it, I don't care. Sometimes you may think that's true, but it isn't. Some of the best things we do around here have been suggestions from people of the church. And I want to be open. I want to be careful. I want to be considerate. I want to be smart enough to listen. Now, I'll just be honest, sometimes it's just not God's will. But I'm open to your suggestions, your recommendations. And I'm open to that. I realize I haven't learned it all, and I don't see it all. So I believe a preacher needs to be careful to hear, considerate to listen, and to apply. I say it again, some of the best things we got going on around here is because somebody suggested it. And I said, boy, I prayed about it and said, you know what, I believe that's right. I didn't even think about it. It kind of hurts my feelings, to be honest. I want to think about the good things. But then I want to close with this, the privilege and the people and the purpose and the preacher, the preparation involved with the hearing God. It says they gladly received His word. That tells me they were ready. They had prepared. It's one of the reasons why I try to encourage you to come a little bit early. Just to get into the church building and kind of get into the atmosphere of I'm in church. It doesn't make all the difference in the world, but it does make a difference. Because if we buzz in the last minute, my goodness, the service is halfway over before we stop vibrating from hurrying. Preparation. That means this week, pray. I've already started praying about Wednesday, and Lord willing, I won't even be here. I promise you, preparation to hear. That means every day, read your word, read the Bible, and pray. Get your heart set for church. That's one of the differences of our grandparents. We may could say, and it probably is more true than I would like to admit, they didn't have much to do besides work in the garden, cook, and clean. So when church time came, it was like a relief to them, and I guess we could say that to a point. But I think here's the real thing. They had a spiritual heart. And all week long, they were singing and praising and praying. Just couldn't wait to get to church. So by the time they got to church, man, they come in shouting. They came in ready to hear. Could I beg you to do something? Between now and next Sunday, between now and Wednesday, every time you think about it, I'm going to remind the Lord, I'm going to ask the Lord to remind you and us. Every time you think about church, say, oh God, please meet with us this next service. Oh God, speak to the congregation now, wherever they're all at. Remind them, put their heart toward the church and toward the service. And pray that God will prepare your heart and open your heart up to the Lord to where when you come in, you can hear, you can worship, your heart's ready, your heart's prepared, you are ready to hear. It is as though you're coming and saying, God, speak to me. Your servant is listening. preparation involved with hearing God. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says, keep your foot when thou goest to the house of God and be ready to hear. Be willing to hear. Be willing to heed. God has decreed that He use preaching and preachers to speak through. Teachers too. And this is one of the things that's required. Bible preaching, anointed preaching. If we don't have it, this church will never be what God wants it to be. I say that fearfully because I'm the preacher. Let me ask you to stand. No music, no singing. Here's the invitation. If you need to come pray about something, you need to come get saved, please come. But I want to ask you, if you have trouble kneeling, there's a front pew here. I want to ask you, here's the invitation. I want to ask you, you can pray about anything, but I want to ask you to come and pray for your preacher. Because I need God's touch. And I need God's help. And I'd ask the same thing if I wasn't the pastor. But this church needs a godly man who will preach the truth. Please pray for me that I'll live right, love the Lord, be what I should be. But when I come to this pulpit, I'll come in power. Nothing worse than trying to preach without God's touch. You pray as long as you want to, go back to your pew when you're through.